Empire.
You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the urban sports scene.
You are listening to the urban sports scene with Ray Jeezy and myself, Wole. The homie Will T is out, and we are part of Ampire Media at amppiremedia.com. What's good, Ray Jeezy?
Our discussion before the show says it all. We're ready for this Commanders talk, the stadium location.
It's everything, man.
Watching social media, which I just vented about a little bit, I'm seeing the views of everybody, especially the Northern Virginia folks and beyond. Mm-hmm. So I got so much to say. I'm going to try to bring it all together. It's going to be difficult, though. So if I start to rant,
it's all good.
Just get me under control, bro.
I feel like it's understandable if you rant. You know what I'm saying? I think I kind of feel like it's understandable if you start to rant.
And by the way, I am a PG County resident. I was born in the district, raised in PG County. I'm not offended by anything that's been said about PG County. To me, it's more of a Commander issue. But I just want to say, keep in mind, if people talk about where you're from, you're going to defend it. Mm-hmm. So if you see someone who is seemingly angry about what you're saying, that's because they're just passionate about where they're from. That's all.
Yeah,
let's keep it respectful. That's all.
Yeah. But before we get into all that, man, you know, you text us in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
And sad news, man. You know, friend of the show, you know, we ended up really liking the family and whatnot. And,
no doubt.
If you haven't heard, Gary Russell Sr., the father of former WBC featherweight champion Gary Russell Jr., also Antonio Gary Russell Jr., and also Antoine Gary Russell Jr., he passed yesterday. So anybody, you know, who's familiar with the family, you know, if you follow the family on social media or whatever, you know, just send your prayers, you know, give them a shout out or something, just some type of term of endearment of what's going on. But most importantly, show a prayer or whatnot and pray for the family.
And media folks, be respectful. Although, yeah, based on what Gary posted on Instagram, he's benefiting from the messages and even the visits he mentioned, which is dope. Some people want privacy during this time.
Yeah.
But real quick, Gary Russell Sr. to me was a special dude because not just what he did with his family and working with his sons day in and day out, but once he developed a relationship with you as a person, and meaning me, just someone who's interviewed the Russell family, I saw them at MGM prior to a press conference. This was maybe an hour and a half before it started. And I was the first person he came up to, dapped up. He's like, yeah, I remember you smiling. Just a nice person. Every time I saw him, when we interviewed Gary, man, in the heart of the pandemic, he was out front, spoke, always showed love. At the very first time we went to interview them, remember, he's like, I'm going to put my gun back on safety because I didn't know who y'all was.
I remember.
But after that, from that point on, it was almost like, he said, anybody who comes here, you're like extended family. If you want to train, whatever you want from us, if we can help you, we'll do it. So it's very sad, especially because these boys spent every day with him. Mm-hmm. He was not just somebody that was a father. He was somebody that was their coach, and just being there day in and day out. It's a tough, tough loss. And I don't know how they're going to resume their careers. And that's not the important thing. It's just them healing. And it never ends the grieving process. But, you know, just being there for them, like you said.
And just, yeah, and just, you know, being in that situation. You know, I lost my father like 3 years ago. Similar, you know, complications to, you know, to whatever. And, you know, you're never really the same.
Right.
And especially, you know, for somebody who's done so much for your family. You know, for your family in terms of raising you, teaching you how to be a man, teaching you mentally, spiritually, physically, you know, how to, you know, become this person that you are. And you know, my thing to them, if they ever, they're listening, is that, you know, just remember that, you know, he may be gone physically, but spiritually he's never gone. Like, he's in you. Like, when you look at yourself, you look at your children, you look at your siblings, you look at your, you know, any family member, just know that he's there. He's in them. You know what I mean? And the core values that you have today is because of him. So, yeah, and like you said, right, meeting him, I've always said this, and I've said that to him, and I said it to the family, just that it's something I've always admired of how, you know, in terms of a core, how close and tight-knit the family where they are, you know what I mean, and what he did to kind of bring that, and what values he instilled in that whole family. So my prayer is out to the
His legacy
Russell,
is dope. His
Gary
legacy
Russell
is
family.
Dope.
Yeah,
the legacy is intact.
It's amazing.
It's just,
man,
a matter of, like I said, managing and coping every day.
Definitely, man, definitely. But yeah. Like I mentioned about Ampire Media, Ampire Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcast shows, such as the John Kine Report, hosted by ESPN Washington Commanders insider John Keim, and Jones Football, hosted by USA Today insider Mike Jones. And you can subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search The Urban Sports Scene. Make sure you subscribe to The Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well.
The YouTube channel is dope, by the way, with the HBCU interviews, the recent boxing interviews. Folks need to subscribe just because it's amazing content, not because we need the clout, as I just talked about. But also check out the Urban Sports Scene on Podcast DC, the local app with hundreds of options in local news and health in the DMV region. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Empire shows as well as other great content. Of course, don't forget to follow the Urban Sports Scene on IG, just hit us up at Urban Sports Scene. That's also the same on Twitter at Urban Sports Scene. Also check out the Urban Sports Scene Facebook page and join the Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene sports bloggers, sports podcasts, and sports debates.
All right, man, let's get into our tradition, the pregame. Here's what we have on tap. We'll talk about the Washington Commanders possibly moving to Virginia and Snyder possibly being voted out by the NFL. At 8:20, we'll talk about the NBA playoffs, Eastern Conference Finals, and the Western Conference Finals. At 8:35 in our segment HBCU Corner, we have a pre-taped interview with South Carolina State football coach Oliver Buddy Pugh. And finally, we have an interview with super lightweight boxer and PG County's own Greg Sharpshooter Outlaw. He is part of the Beltway Battles Round 2 boxing event, which takes place Saturday, May 28th. All right, Ray mentioned a little bit, but first, it was reported that the Washington Commanders paid more than $100 million for land in Woodbridge, Virginia, possibly the next step in building a new stadium, as well as numerous retail shops, restaurants, and apartments. It's about 200 acres of land. Is this a good look for Washington? And I want to also state that there is also there's been a report stated that it's to put a claim. They haven't actually bought the actual land.
Of course.
All right, put that out there. All right.
So there's a difference between making revenue or gaining revenue, if I'm saying that right, and actually pleasing your fan base. Because is it going to bring fans back? Fans is the key word. Yeah. That's one of the biggest questions. Is a move, a prospective move such as this, going to bring the fans back? Now, retail shops, a new building. People go to the Chase Center, for example, in San Francisco with a Golden State Warriors play just because it's like a dope building. It has so many attractions. So the money will probably come. And in Virginia, we already know how affluent it is. Prince William County, Fairfax County, these are some of the richest counties in the world. Loudoun County. The issue is the core fan base, I feel like, is here closer to the District of Columbia.
Yes.
And I feel like you're going to lose another percentage of the fan base that you cannot afford. Now, you still make money, but it's not about that. Right now, this is one of the most miserable fan bases. This is one of the most abysmal franchises, even though the net worth of the franchise is still there.
Yeah.
It's still worth a lot.
Uh-huh.
So that's my biggest concern is, are you going to be pleased with this as a Washington Commander Redskin fan? I'm going to say no. So in my eyes right now, it's not a good look. And also, stadiums are so much more than what people make of them today. When we were younger, you would grow up watching, let's just say, the NBA playoffs.
Yeah.
Market Square Arena. Whose arena was that? Indiana Pacers.
Indiana Pacers. The Pacers.
The Madison Square Garden, of course.
Knicks.
Right. The Boston Garden. Chicago. Chicago Stadium.
Yeah. What was it? Yeah.
Chicago Stadium. Yeah. That's what it's called. These arenas were amazing. Football. Lambeau Field. You know what it is.
Yeah.
Soldier Field.
Soldier Field. Chicago.
RFK Stadium was in that discussion.
Yeah. It's wild how things are changing.
It didn't have to be the nicest place. It did not have to have bars around the stadium. But you knew what you were getting when you walked up RFK. You knew the capital punishment, the defense, the burgundy and gold was represented. It didn't matter about none of this other stuff. Uh-huh. So I feel like the NFL, because of money and the Washington Commanders and everybody else, is losing sight and losing the vision of what
important?
It is.
What's important?
Like I said, my bad. I told you I was going to rant.
No, you're good. That was actually...
No, I'm not done yet.
Keep going, bro.
No,
I actually need to keep going so I can find something.
Okay, so also,
I want to tweeted all this stuff. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to look.
I want to address our Virginia friends.
Uh-huh.
I love some of y'all's podcasts, and I'm not a person that gets overly emotional about sports. It's just sports. This is what we do. Yeah. It's good to talk, good to debate. However, it's the Washington Commanders. I hate that name, but it's the Washington Commanders. It is Washington, meaning Washington, D.C. Yeah. So the team, which was playing in D.C. for years and then playing right outside D.C., of course, this is where you're supposed to be located. So now I don't get the celebratory mood like, oh, yeah, now we're not going to have to drive and be in traffic. Dude, you're supposed to, because you're driving to see the Washington Commanders in the Washington, D.C. and surrounding area. I don't like the PG County location either. I'm not going to lie. But what I'm saying is RFK, I never heard nobody from Northern Virginia. I've known people from there all my life complain about the traffic. It's just when they started to suck. And then the negative stuff just came out. The tailgating experience wasn't good. That's when people started to really complain about it. The tailgating experience was much better. RFK, why? Because the parking lot was better.
Yes.
Period.
Mm-hmm. No, so I'm with you. Like, my thing, and to you, I think we said this before recording. I think you said it perfectly. About, because this is good. This is what, you know, Virginia, the Virginia fans are stating, that it's in Maryland. But like what you stated, and we've just talked prior, and even here, right? And we both can say that, yo, this isn't it's in a messed up situation. Like, this stadium shouldn't be. But on the flip side, but on that same argument though, when you make a couple turns, it don't take that long. And I'm telling you this, Virginia folks who don't know, because you're not from this area. Maybe two turns and you're in the city. Literally, all you gotta take one road and you're already in DC. So legitimate, like, even that stadium that you do not like, it's about 5 minutes away from the city. Literally about 5 minutes, ten.
If you take Central Avenue,
you're like five. You know what I mean? Where you want it at ain't nowhere near the city. Ain't nowhere. So you're basically the Virginia Commanders. No, not. But like Ray said, the team is called the Washington Commanders. I get y'all diehard fans. I don't even care, to be honest with you, because I don't go to games, so I don't even care. Like, to be real with you, they go to Virginia. It is what it is. It'll happen. People will still go to Washington games if they win. If they lose, like Ray said, if they lose, it's going to be even worse. It's going to be terribly worse. All right? So if it's the same product that we see here at FedEx, it's going to be even worse. It's going to be even worse. So, again, like, I get, like, I know, obviously, this is, you feel like it's your turn. A lot of Virginia fans, it's like, your turn. You, like, let these other folks travel. I think I've heard that same whole talk. Like, we've been traveling three hours or whatever. Now it's your turn. And that's like, I don't even know how to explain it. That's like, all right, dude, like, what's the Salisbury, like the Marver Shorebirds or whatever. Like,
I'm not even going to go that hard. I'm gonna say that's like the White House saying, okay, we're going to move to Northern Virginia or Southern Virginia. And like, oh yes, now we don't have to travel to D.C. to visit the White House. No, that's where it's supposed to be. That makes no sense to me. It really doesn't. Like I said, I get it. I'm not going to sit here and lie. It's just like I used to tease you. We'll go interview Gary Russell. Like, man, I'm glad I'm so close to home now. I got to come all the way from blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
That's a dope blessing when you don't have to drive as far.
Yeah,
I'm not going to lie. But just say it like that. Don't say now it's y'all turn as if we did something wrong.
Yeah.
No, they're the Washington Commanders, but they play right near where we live because that's where they're supposed to play. That's all I'm saying. And I'm sure you're going to have an argument for that. And I'm not going to even entertain it.
Oh, I'm not either. I haven't entertained any of the arguments for real.
You can tweet the show. That'd be cool. Yeah, but I won't respond. We'll read your tweet.
I'll read the tweet, but I'm not arguing that. I don't have the time, nor effort, or the energy.
Now, I get it though. Most people, from what I've seen, are saying, I drive this far for this BS experience.
Yeah.
The team sucks. The surrounding area sucks. That has nothing to do with what we're talking about. If you can distinguish those, I think we'll be just fine, fam. Real talk.
Yeah, for real. On IG, the homie Wood said, a good product on the field succeeds all this other fan complaining. Fans wanted their way on a million details. Stadium location, but on the heels of the new name, I understand the sensitivity.
Dude, it's all about winning. It is. Now, I know that sometimes the product on the field helps. Like, if you know your team is playing hard, there's some talent on the field, you're going to support your team.
Mm-hmm.
So winning isn't necessarily the 100% answer to the problem, but it's the biggest solution. And here's why. If you look at the Rams moved from St. Louis back to LA, right?
Yeah.
Because in St. Louis, they start to lose support. Their support started to wane.
Yeah.
But now, SoFi Stadium, you're winning. It's the dopest experience in America because you have the Super Bowl champs who at one point pre-greatest show on turf, and then even after that, the Rams had some bad years, just like Washington had some down years. But look, they're winning games. They got a good quarterback. This franchise has not had a good starting, stable franchise quarterback since we've been alive.
They've been losing. Since we've been alive?
So they're
since we've been alive?
Since you and I have been alive. We both were born in the same year, 1981.
Stable, how long? I mean, Mark Rupp doesn't count. He's not a stable quarterback.
No. All these years, they have not had a consistent stable.
You mean like how many years?
It hasn't been like an Elway. Okay, Phil Sims. You go to every other team. Randall Cunningham, Phil Sims. You can name them. Aikman. Every other team in the division has had quarterbacks who have been longer tenured than this franchise.
Well, that's the thing with Joe Gibbs.
But because Joe Gibbs won without it, it didn't matter. No. You at RFK every daggone week without the bars on the outside. Yes. You know what I'm saying? So,
but you had greatness as a coach. That's different. You don't have greatness. They don't
that's
have
my
greatness.
Point, though. It's so much bigger than just the location. That's what folks are missing. It's just like the name. It's like the jerseys. We're excited about what the jerseys look like now. It's posted. Donna posted how it's Commanders on the back because it's about the team. Like, this is stupid. We're focusing on the wrong stuff to me.
Bro, I'm not even. I understand. You're right with that.
I'm just saying the focus is so messed up right now for this franchise because we're looking for something.
They're looking for hope.
There you go.
That's what it is. It's like Obama. They're looking for hope. It's just, I see it all. Dude, I be trying to. I don't want crush feelings, but I be like, dude, we've all been here before. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, you're not going to. What's the definition of insanity, right? For real, real talk. What's the definition of
doing the same thing over and over again?
Fans, you gotta stop doing this, bro. Like, seriously, y'all slicing training camp, y'all slicing OTA stuff. Like, y'all gotta stop.
Please,
yeah, y'all gotta stop.
Please learn from that.
Yeah, please stop.
Okay, and here's why. One reason it does not produce the same results on the field. AGG was mossing folks in videos last summer.
Yeah, he was
mossing folks, one-handed Odell Beckham type catches. Not no offense to him, I'm just saying.
Yeah,
it hasn't translated yet. We have to see the product. And then on the flip side, there's some players who dog it in training camp.
De'Ami Brown looked good in camp. Everybody kept talking about him, and then now everybody's like, oh, he's not.
Mike not Sellers looked amazing in person because he was big, strong guy.
Strong dude. Mike Sellers was an iron in the season.
He missed a key block, and Clint Portis got blasted. So.
I'm
joking.
I'm just saying it doesn't matter.
Point is, I was there in person. Mike Sellers caught like a one hand pass out of the backfield, shook somebody. Was he gonna do that in the game? No,
not like that.
He was a traditional fullback.
He
wasn't.
Hey, once white man, nice little catch.
He wasn't Ronnie Harmon.
Man, come on now. No, Ronnie Harmon. Ronnie Harmon's great.
He wasn't Reggie Bush. That's all I'm saying.
Man, Reggie Bush. Man.
Reggie Bush catch out of the backfield.
So Mike Sellers was right too.
Darren Sproles catch out of the backfield.
Oh, that's dynamic running. That's different though.
I'm just saying he wasn't that guy. But
yeah, he wasn't that guy. I get you saying.
Okay. Malcolm Kelly. Can I go on? There's some people that have shined in minicamp.
Malcolm was just about injury. But you're right though.
He did get hurt. I'm just saying.
There's a lot.
Temporary expectations.
There's a lot. Yeah, I agree with you, dude.
I'm going off topic, though. I apologize.
No, we both are going off topic. That's not you. I think I started it, actually, with the whole camp thing because I get annoyed by it.
You said people looking for hope, yeah, exactly. And this is just part of it.
Yeah, it's part of it. All right, but on Facebook, the homie George did post about the same topic that we're talking about. It's an awful idea. Changing the name is one thing. Moving the team to one end of the mixing bowl will rip the heart and soul out of the franchise.
Thank you. That's what I'm saying. You're
and
gonna
George
lose
is from Virginia.
Exactly. You're going to lose your core.
George is a Virginia dude.
You're going to lose your core, my friend. Yeah, that's the biggest problem. And there's a lot of comparisons, I'm sure, because there are teams who are, like, for example, New York Giants, who they play in Jersey. But again, look at proximity. So look at location. Look at the success, the recent success of the franchise. It's a lot.
It's popping. All right. On Facebook, again. Dwight Golson says, another terrible idea on the long list of terrible Snyder ideas. It won't be the last terrible thing he comes up with.
Wole, the proposed capacity is what? 60,000.
60,000.
That's another funny part of it.
You're moving a team to no disrespect, all the way deep in Virginia, not even Alexandria, deep in Virginia for 60,000. Like, are we doing this? And just because they're going to open, they're going to build some malls and like a shop, some restaurants right nearby, like that really is going to change the whole, man, if y'all don't stop. It's not like it's, like you said, it's not like it's RFK. Like, don't, no, man. I get this. Everybody has a little selfishness in them. You know what I'm saying? So I understand. And, you know, if you want that team near you, you don't have to travel as much, as far. I get it. You're in traffic. I understand. But like Ray said, it's called the Washington Commanders. They're called the Washington Commanders. And you have Prince George's County is literally the borderline of D.C. You know what I mean? You can have it in D.C. It's the borderline of D.C. That's all I'm saying.
And it's not this is debatable.
But they can't move the squad from
this
out of
is
here.
Debatable, but it's not debatable. That Virginia traffic is far worse than the traffic that we have here. I mean, far worse. Take a ride through Potomac Mills and head down toward Fredericksburg. Oh my gosh, it's horrible. Mm-hmm. It's the worst experience you can have if you're coming back from a vacation. Let's just say if you happen to drive to Florida. Sometimes yeah. people do that. I've done it before.
I have to. I've drove to Florida.
Dude, or Carolina or Georgia, yeah, wherever. Yeah, whatever. On the, me and you, we drove together from Atlanta.
Yeah, exactly.
Where do we get stuck? Virginia.
Virginia.
It's not till you get Virginia. You get stuck in the same spot. And then don't let it rain. Oh. Then you're really not going
you're
anywhere.
You're not going nowhere.
And then you got state troopers who love to give tickets. You don't even need cameras out there because the ticket revenue is already the highest in the nation without that. Virginia is a bad idea. Dan Snyder, I don't know what the world is going on there. Jason Wright maybe doesn't have as much pull as people think or power, but not a good idea.
Real quick before we go to break, Snyder. There's a report out there, Snyder. This is out there that the NFL owners are discussing voting out Daniel Snyder. Do you think that's going to happen?
Listen, it's the next step. It's another step in toward that direction. I predicted at the end of last year, 2021, that by the time December 2022 came around, Dan Snyder would no longer be owner of the Washington Commanders. It's going to be a difficult task to get him out. But when your colleagues and your peers are starting to turn on you, that's when you have a...
Well, there's truth. We all, like, to me, when something report is reported, there's truth out there, right? So something's happening.
Oh, it's...
Because I know the NFL, I just got an alert.
It's grinding.
I had an alert that just stated that, NFL said that it's not happening. That's what an alert said. Somebody came out and said it's not.
Of course.
This is not true or something, but that doesn't...
He is right on the cliff.
I think he's close.
He's right on the cliff, and all it's going to take is one more little nudge, and he's going to fall.
I agree.
And we'll see who wants to invest into this franchise. Cause I'm sure it's going to be a high commodity because it's worth a lot.
But also that plays a part too. Like who's and it's like 6 years away from even this team moving. I don't even know why everybody's on the uproar, to be honest with you. But even that though, why would you like have that team go there if you don't even know what the owner situation is going to be? You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
That's a whole different thing too. Like you don't know the situation, so how can you commit to that?
That's a interesting question, you know, and it sucks because again, for fans that are looking for what you said, hope, that's not another question that you want to add to a list of a myriad of concerns and inquiries that people have about the future of this franchise when this franchise remains beloved. Like folks who I see it all the time, I'm done with them, and then they write back like I can't be done with them because it's the Washington franchise.
You can't be done with them. It's impossible.
The Redskins, growing up here, I wasn't a fan, but you had to acknowledge the greatness that it was.
Yeah, you had to. So, no, I'm with you, bro. Like, it's...
That's what I'm saying. It falls into a line of greatness. You know, when people are great, when franchises are great, they get hated on at times. But to me, Washington wasn't even one of those. Joe Gibbs was just a likable dude. The franchise, the way they played the game.
They played football.
Running right down your throat, play strong defense. Yeah. No stars. Like Gary Williams, Maryland team.
Yeah.
No star. All-Americans.
Yeah, just hooped. I mean, they just hooped.
Yep.
They play hard and hooped.
So, we need that feeling back, that feel-good Washington franchise back.
Yeah, it's like that worker's mentality.
Yeah, no doubt.
For real, real talk. All right, man, we're going to talk about the NBA playoffs after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Saying for ages. Ya dig, a deuces.
Hello, new world, all the boys and girls. I got some true stories to tell. You're back outside, but they still lied. Whoa, yeah.
Take off the fufu, take off the cloud chase, take off the Wi-Fi, take off the money phone, take off the car loan, take off the flex and the white loss. Take off the weird ass jewelry, I'ma take 10 steps, then I'm taking off top off. Take off the fabricated streams and the microwave memes, it's a real world outside. Take off your idols, take off the runway, take off the Cairo, take off the Sandro, pay 5 days, stay, take off for the meal, hella value. Take off the fuck flag, take off reception, take off the cop with the hot patch. Take off the unload, take off the unsure, take off the decisions I had. Take off the fake deep, take off the fake woke, take off the I'm broke, I care. Take off the gossip, take off the new logic, that if I'm rich, I'm real. Take off the shit nail, take off the doge, take off the Birkin bag. Take all the designer boot off, and what do you have?
You ugliest.
You out of pocket.
Two ATMs, you stepping on what?
You out of pocket.
Who you think they talk about? Talk about us.
You out of pocket.
Who you think they
The word in a panic, the women is stranded, the men on the run. The profits are vanished, the law take advantage. The market is crashing, the industry wants to sleep in the box while they making a mockery following us. This ain't Monopoly, watch it for love. This ain't Monopoly, y'all get it.
Welcome back to the Urban Sports Scene with Wole and myself, Ray. Will T is out. We are part of Empire Media, empiremedia.com. Tonight, the Golden State Warriors have a chance to pull out the brooms and make it back to yet another NBA Finals with a win over the Dallas Mavericks. The Warriors, of course, up 3-0 in the Western Conference Finals. Wole, do you think it's over? And do you think the Warriors got lucky with the path that has been given to them this time?
Yes and yes. I do. I think that the series is over. You're going against, you know, Luka's been great, but it's all they've had. All they have is in terms of a star is Luka. So this Warrior team is, there's so many different elements to this squad. You know, you got Klay, you got Steph, you got Andrew Wiggins. You know what I mean? You know, Draymond plays his role. You got Poole off the bench. There are so many elements that will give this that are giving this Dallas Maverick team problems, and they don't have enough firepower to contend with this team. Jason Kidd has done a great job coaching it, but in terms of their talent, their skill set on their team, you got to wait. Luka has to do so much for them to get over the hump. And because the Suns didn't play up to their ability in that Game 7, had played probably their worst game of the series in Game 7, you know, the Golden State Warriors are taking advantage of it. I'm being real. Like, cause well, I think this, because at one, it would have, Phoenix would have had home court advantage, so it would have been a little bit harder for Golden State to kind of like just walk through them. It would have been, and you know, Stephen, it's a different matchup with that switch with Stephen and Chris Paul, because Luka's a mismatch. Luka's a problem. Like, you know, you could have missed that switch with Luka, and, you know, Luka's 6'8", roughly like 6'8", 6'9". You get that switch with, you know, Chris Paul and Luka. They took advantage of it. But this will be a different switch, and it's going to be a lot more history, because we've seen the history that Steph and Chris Paul have had in the past. I know a lot of people say that, well, Steph gives Chris Paul the business or whatever, but you know, a healthy Chris Paul is giving Steph some work too as well. So I just think that series would have been way more competitive if we got to see a Phoenix Suns versus Golden State Warriors series.
Want to give an analogy real quick. We were just talking football. You know I'm an Atlanta Falcons fan. I remember getting all these calls like, the Atlanta Falcons ruined the Minnesota Vikings' chance to be one of the greatest teams of all time because they upset the Vikings and then go on to just lay an egg against the Denver Broncos. And in this case, the Dallas Mavericks are essentially doing the same thing. Yeah. And I will say this. I don't like to necessarily use the term lucky, but I'm gonna use the word fortunate.
Fortunate, yeah.
And you're fortunate that Ja Morant got hurt. A.
Yes.
That was the biggest one. Not because I don't believe Golden State was gonna win. I picked Golden State to win in 7. However, they would have been pushed a little bit harder in that series, and they got fortunate. Even Dylan Brooks, that whole thing was messed up.
Yes.
The way it all went down. Because right now the NBA is so sensitive. Like, so many posted that day. GP, I met him here in Washington. No disrespect to him. He was injured, and it was a tough foul.
Yeah.
But the old heads came out and said Bill Laimbeer, Dennis Rodman, Vinnie Johnson, the whole Bad Boy Pistons team should have been suspended. Also, Larry Bird's Celtics teams. They all played this brand of basketball in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So now we got social media. Everybody's sensitive. So the NBA had to take action. But it totally changed, in my opinion, the momentum, sorry, Will, of the series, because now you have a situation where a team is not at full strength. But I know GP's are out. He's hurt. He's out. So I feel like back then, the Golden State Warriors are fortunate to have had the run that they've had. Although, you still have to beat who's in front of you. You still have to get road wins. The streak that they have for road playoff wins is amazing. Yeah. Just like people complain about LeBron and how he didn't win a lot of the finals that he was in, but he went to 10 straight. You know how hard that is. I'm watching the Boston Celtics and the Miami Heat. Their bodies are breaking down because it's so hard to make these long playoff runs. The Golden State Warriors broke down at the end of a 5-year run. So to see the Golden State Warriors continue this awesome play after so many years in which they've dominated, even though they had a couple down seasons, is still impressive.
So on Instagram at Urban Sports Scene, the homie Wood said Dallas probably gets out of the way. Styles make fights. Dubs versus Suns may have been worse on CP3's legacy, so he should be good with going out as a smaller storyline underneath the emergence of Luka. The media ran with. I actually think Chris Paul would probably look better in terms of legacy against Steph and the Golden State Warriors than how he looked against Luka.
He plays more motivated against Steph.
I think, agreed. There's a passion. There is a thing, just like for real, like teams play it when they see LeBron James, you play harder when you play against LeBron. right? The same thing goes with Steph. When you're playing against Steph, you're trying, especially if you're a point guard, you're trying to go at Steph. He's now at that level where you're trying to go at Steph. Ja Morant was trying to go at Steph when he got the opportunity. Like, if you're a point guard at that level, you're trying to go at Steph. And because he's that figure right now. So, like you said, and Chris Paul is a competitor. He's an all-time great competitor.
It raises everyone's level of play. Yeah, exactly. And Devin Booker is the more key.
That too, and it's a dog.
The more key player in that equation for me because he's striving to be someone who's like Steph and Clay. So, I think his rookie season, he competed against them in the three-point challenge. Yeah, yeah. And he showed out. Came close to winning. So, it would have raised everybody's level of play. Chris Paul was the reason why Phoenix did not do well in that seventh game. Like, his body language, his play as the leader of that team, I believe it impacted the entire chemistry and energy. And then it was a trickle-down effect because you had DeAndre Ayton who, until, of course, that series, he wasn't happy, but it didn't matter because they were winning.
Yeah.
They were number one seed. And, of course, they advanced. But once adversity strikes, then again, it's almost like that trickle-down effect. And that's what happened to Phoenix. But nonetheless, it doesn't matter because this opponent, that is the Dallas Mavericks, with a star in the making on their team, they're still not an easy W, not at all. And Golden State just had to climb back in some games to win. And again, road victories are never simple in the playoffs. So it's still impressive, but they were fortunate to have some.
I think they were fortunate.
They were fortunate to have some stuff happen.
They're fortunate. I'm sorry. Because you know what? And it may not be mentioned, but it's
Jamal Murray.
Jamal Murray.
We can go always back. Dude, Michael Porter Jr. is a lot to happen for them.
Yeah. And to be real with you, if it was another player, folks would mention it more. You know what I mean? Like, the Joker, they beat the Joker, but the Joker, the MVP, was basically by himself. Luka is by himself. You got the Memphis Grizzlies without Ja Morant. You know what I mean? Like, arguably, and you could tell, and I a lot of people have stated that, well, the Grizzlies are better without Ja. I was like, stop. I was like, have you seen Ja throughout the whole year, in the fourth quarter, Ja gets buckets and he gets busy in the fourth.
Oh, he closes Minnesota by himself.
He closes. If you watch the games where they had big leads and they squandered it or down the stretch when games were tight and they had nowhere to go, they had tried to go to Brooks, who isn't really a prolific scorer. If he's streaky, but not a prolific scorer, they were going to him. Nah, who do you go? If Ja is healthy, you're going to Ja. And if you're looking at track record, Ja clutch. Ja ain't just good. Ja clutch down the stretch. So, they got it. They got off easy not having Ja. Like, to be real. And then mentioning in this situation, you didn't get a chance to see, you ain't seeing CP3 and Devin Booker and Ayton. It's a better, I don't care what you tell them, just know basketball. It's a better matchup. It just is. It's a better matchup.
Like I said, they were fortunate.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave it at that.
You know what I'm saying?
So I know we got to talk Miami and Boston.
Yeah, it's true. All right, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene, part of Empire Media at empiremedia.com. Thank you, Ray Jeezy. All right, in the Eastern Conference Finals, the Boston Celtics and the Miami Heat are tied 2-2. Game 5 is tomorrow night. What are your thoughts on the series, and who do you have winning the pivotal Game 5?
Man, I think this is where Boston changes the tide of the series right here. Regardless of if they were to lose this Game 5, I still like them to win the series. I just feel like they're on a mission.
Yeah.
And they are well coached, and they're scrappy, and they play defense, and they have the veteran leadership needed to make that longer run. Jimmy Butler, I applaud his efforts. I love who he's become as a player and a leader, although I know people don't like sometimes the way he ruffles feathers. But here's what you can't deny about him. Everywhere he goes, he wins.
Yeah.
Everywhere he goes, he wins.
He's a good regular season winner.
That going, Joel Embiid still can't get over him leaving.
Yeah. The Timberwolves
had that. Now, think about this. You always talk about how, look at LeBron, the franchise after he leaves. Look at Jimmy after he leaves. Folks don't necessarily, they're not the same either. It's not apples to apples with LeBron. Come on, it's LeBron James. But I'm just saying, for Jimmy Butler to be a relatively unknown coming out of Marquette and then to just elevate his game, to earn minutes in Chicago, and to make them a competitive squad against the LeBron James-led Miami Heat, and then to go to other franchises and turn Miami around. For real, if it wasn't for Kawhi signing with the Raptors, what would have happened, man? You never know. So I just feel as though what he's done he led him to a finals. And I get the bubble. Everybody has the issues, but it was all the same circumstances.
No, so I'm not mad at the bubble.
What he's done is great. Now, could he work on, of course, his leadership style? Yes. Absolutely. And does he maybe need to remember who he was and where he came from? I would agree with that. But I'm just saying what he's done is impressive. But with the injuries to Kyle Lowry and also,
yeah,
of course,
they got some injuries too, yeah.
To, dang, Tyler Hero, yeah, you're going to have a difficult time beating a complete team that is well-coached and playing as a unit. Jason Tatum is on a mission, so he was saying the reason why, of course, the more talented team with Morris and Kyrie and Terry Rozier could not win is because they were all for self. This team is all about each other, and it don't matter if I have the best numbers. If we win and we play D, that's all that matters.
I'm glad he's had that thought process. He had to get that.
Yeah, like, he didn't have it.
And you could tell he was trying to, you know, get his stats off. He wanted to be the guy. And this is why Boston's playing good basketball. I agree with you, Ray. I think Boston's on a mission. And I think game five, you're going to see them playing hard, you know, and Miami. But the good thing about this series is that you got both teams have a similar mentality. They're a grit, hard team. You know what I'm saying? Like, and they're both coached well. You mentioned Boston being coached well. Well, you know, Miami got probably arguably the best coach in the game right now, and Eric Spo. So you got, and they play a style where, yeah, we give grit. Jimmy Butler has definitely led this franchise. I ain't put no shade on Jimmy Butler. But the cool thing about this franchise is Jimmy don't got to be the one to perform on a given night. They got Tyler Hero. They got Bam. They got other dudes that they go to. You know what I'm saying? If Jimmy ain't even vibing it, and they can still be effective. They've done this. Eric Spoelstra has developed a team and a unit where he has given instilled confidence in almost everybody on that roster to make plays. So that team is a team. You know what I'm saying? You got Victor Oladipo, who a lot of folks, you've seen him before a couple seasons ago with Indiana. While he was in Indiana, he didn't look like the same Victor Oladipo. You know what I'm saying? He ain't the same Victor Oladipo, but he's effective. You know what I'm saying? He, again, Spoelstra, whatever how he's done it, he has put in confidence in Victor Oladipo offensively and defensively. So I just think that Miami as a unit, they ain't going to be an easy out. But back to your point, I think Boston is on that mission. You got Marcus Smart, to me, that's playing more team ball. You got Jaylen Brown and Tatum are playing more cohesive basketball. They've been cool. Like, they've always been cool. But like you said, they've been together, though. There's like nobody's worried about to getting the shine. It's about, hey, yo, who going to make the best play? Al Horford a couple nights ago against the Greek Freak in the postseason had like 29. You know what I'm saying? If it was a couple years ago when we were talking about, Al Horford wouldn't be getting those touches. So I think that this team is definitely on it. They trying to do something. I think game five, they take it because they're in that zone right now.
I would agree about Eric Spoelstra. I think he's the hardest working coach. And also, we talked about Jimmy Butler's impact on franchises. P.J. Tucker arguably is having the same impact defensively and just the leadership that he brings. So I agree with you. It's a tight series, evenly contested. Uh-huh. Again, two very good teams. Emphasize the word teams. It's not about individuals. It's about how they play as units. And it's going to be a chess match. Tatum is emerging. Jimmy Butler is probably where he's going to be at in terms of his star power at this point. So Jason Tatum, if he continues to close consistently, like he did against Washington, but it's Washington, then he's grown, which is just insane. I looked at him standing next to KD in the first round, I'm like, dang, he might be a little taller than KD.
Yeah, he's getting there, bro.
So it's crazy that he continues to just get better. He works on his body. You got to love it. Uh-huh. He wants to be great, and he acknowledges the mistakes he made. Shout out to J.J. Redick, who had Jason Tatum as a guest on the podcast a couple months back.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
And he put it all out there about how he struggled and it ruffled feathers, and everybody on that team had their own agenda. And we've heard about that on other teams, the Georgetown Hoya team. We had Austin Freeman on the show. What did he say? He said we all had our own agendas.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
If you can have all the talent in the world,
Chris Wright said the same thing,
so. You can have all the talent in the world, man. You got your own agenda, and it's about individuals. It will never work. So that's why we're seeing them shine. And I feel bad because Adoka's getting the credit. But, dude, they've been well-coached way before the Stevens was an excellent coach.
Oh, man, I think Brad Stevens.
And he's the architect of this.
Exactly. I think he gets his credit right there. I think he's already shown you that, you know what.
Shout out to Eric Spoelstra. He changed your opinion about him.
Oh, he did, man. Shout out to him, man. Real talk.
He works so hard.
I used to drag that dude.
He worked so hard just to get where he was.
Yeah, I used to drag that
get where he is
as
a head coach. But even prior to that, he's somebody who doesn't sleep. He eats and sleeps basketball.
It's all about ball. On our Facebook page, the homie Cornelius Galt said, he posted, these lopsided games are irritating. It makes all seem scammy. How the F does Miami lose by 30 without the Celtics having the primary player? That's weird as AF. How does Bam go so easily? These series all need to be best of three because then it put some sense of urgency in these Bama's mane.
I can't argue with that.
Mane.
That is, it's hard to watch when people are getting blown out by 30 and you know they're not going to come back.
It sucks.
I didn't watch the second half. I'm not going to lie.
Not at all.
So, from a viewership standpoint, from a fan standpoint, but look at the TD Garden. It is rocking. The fans are enjoying every bit of it when there's a blowout. So it still works for the fan bases. Of course, the casual fan, also the hardcore NBA fan who knows basketball. It is a terrible brand of basketball to watch when there's just a one-sided, lopsided victory. That's why I prefer NCAA. I love March Madness better. I'm going to keep saying it. It always comes back to it.
It always comes. Hey,
that's first. When you can watch Shaheen Holloway coached. I don't even know the name of the school right now. But
he's somewhere else now.
No, I know. He went back to Seton Hall, but I'm saying I don't know who was he coaching in this patch his tournament. You don't even know.
Right? It's like a weird ass name.
It was a Catholic school, but they advanced. I'm sorry I don't know it. But they advanced.
Oh, I'm not going to
Did they make the Elite Eight?
I think they made the Elite Eight. They got far. They got super far, bro.
This is hilarious. You don't see that in the NBA.
Hey, actually,
do you see the Wizards upset the number one seed?
You're looking for it, but I'm going to read a tweet about our Washington Commander segment. T Liv. What's up, T Liv?
St. Peter's.
Great. Yeah, St. Peter's. T Liv tweeted. This dude ignorant.
Oh, boy.
Say, why we not coming to the games? Can't sing hail to the Redskins. Snyder not trying to win. Just sell ticks. Team personnel decisions stink. The dumbass name. Just a few reasons why.
Yeah, he's real with it.
Yeah, man.
That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, that's all I'm going to say. That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Hey, I'll read this about taking us to break. As part of our HBCU quarter segment, we'll play our interview with South Carolina State football coach Oliver Buddy Pugh after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Saying for Ages. You dig? Deuces.
I come from a generation of home invasions, and I got daddy issues, that's on me. Everything the four walls that taught me, may have is buried deep. That man knew a lot, but not enough to keep me past them streets. My life is a plot, twisted from directions that I can't see. Daddy issues all across my head, told me the foul, I'm teary-eyed. Wanna throw my hands, I won't think out loud, a foolish pride. If I lose again, won't go in the house, I stayed outside. Laughing with my friends, they don't know my life. Daddy issues made me learn losses, I don't take those well. Mama said that boy is exhausted, he said go f*** yourself. If he give up now, that's gon' cost him. Life's a f***, you could be a f***, to step out the margin. I gotta quit, I'm charging baskets and falling backwards, trying to keep balance. Oh, this the part where mental stability meets talent. Oh, this the party breaks my humility just for practice. Tactics we learn together, so I lose it forever. Daddy issues.
I live on a fake house, practicing on day offs. Tough love, bottled up. No chase I need, no chase I need, no chase I need, no chase I need, no chase. I live on a fake house, practicing on day offs. Tough love, bottled up. No chase I need.
Are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Ole, and Ray Jeezy. The homie Will T is out, and we are part of Empire Media at AmpireMedia.com. All right, it's time for HBCU Corner. This segment spotlights coaches and players within HBCU athletics. Here is an interview with South Carolina State University football coach Oliver Buddy Pugh. Welcome to AU Corner. Right now we have coach of the MEAC football champion, South Carolina State University, Oliver Buddy Pugh. South Carolina State also won the Celebration Bowl. Coach Pugh is a four-time MEAC Coach of the Year winner, including a 2021 Coach of the Year. Coach Pugh, welcome to the Urban Sports Scene.
Well, thanks, guys, for having me.
Thanks for being on. So first off, Ray and I, we all like to start off with an easy softball question. All right. We both love homecomings. I want to know what's up with South Carolina State's homecoming. How would you judge it?
But our judgment is one of the better ones. Now, it's got something to do with who you're playing that sure. week, too. Now, our folk here, they'll get a little spoiled. We have big crowds every week, so it's not like going to Howard or Morgan. You know, some of those places where they don't have very big crowds, you know, from time to time. Anytime you show up here, it's a pretty good size. It's a pretty good size showing. And, you know, in a case where, you know, if we're playing somebody that's kind of a funky kind of team, it might not be as much. But at the same time, you know, it's homecoming. It's the same kind of stuff. There's all kind of festivities going on during the entire week. You know, our students got a rock and roll and good time happening. And, you know, they have a great time that way. I have to encourage, you know, our guys to maybe do a little something early in the week from that point on. You know, I try to see if I can make them understand that, you know, most of that stuff's not for us. You know, it's for them. It's for the rest of the folk in the university that way. So hopefully we can get ourselves to the point where we can be ready to play on Saturday.
I love it. I love it. How is the South Carolina State marching band?
It's good. We were probably the best marching band, you know, in our league there for a while. We've now kind of taken a step back a little bit. Our numbers aren't quite what they were back, I guess, maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago. But we're getting back to that point again now. So the marching one-on-one can hold its own, you know, in most cases.
Okay. So we're going to get some serious stuff now. Now we're going to get serious. So,
hold on, I didn't get a chance.
I'm sorry.
I got a homecoming question real quick. I just want to ask Coach Pugh, what's the food like? I heard the barbecue was pretty good down at South Carolina State.
Well, if you like mustard made barbecue, now we're not a wet ketchup-y kind of barbecue, but at the same time, and we're not a beef brisket. We are pork barbecue people. So. And we like ribs and chopped barbecue, that kind of stuff, pork sandwiches, that kind of stuff. So, but it's good. And as barbecue goes, we do everything. You know, chicken, you know, pork chops, you know, sausages, deer sausage, you name it. You can find it all in the tailgate areas around here.
See, okay. I was just close to going to South Carolina State.
So I got accepted to South Carolina State.
Me too, I got accepted too.
I was in the freshman book. But
right.
It's called out-of-state fees, my brother.
So yeah, exactly. That's what happened to me, too. That's exactly what happened to
me, too.
Oh, so, Coach, I mentioned that you won the Celebration Bowl, but you defeated Jackson State University 31-10. What was the vibe going into that game?
Well, it was mostly Jackson. Those guys were, you know, hot as a firecracker. They won about, you know, 8 or 9 ball games in a row. They just lost a game to one of the regional Louisiana schools down there, maybe about game 7 or 8, but they hadn't lost any other games, so they were 10-1. And, you know, they were really as good a looking football team as I've seen in a good while in HBCUs. But now they also were a very, they took advantage of all of the mistakes that people were making against them. So they took to a certain level, to a high level, you know, the fact that they were, take advantage of other people's mistakes. So we thought that if we got in there and made them earn everything they had to get, as opposed to allowing them to, you know, have kickoff returns and interception returns and fumble returns, you know, those kind of scores that, you know, that we could play with them. So, you know, it was one of those kind of deals where we went in with a plan. We didn't want them to have anything and get any easy scores. And we were able to accomplish that goal. That gave us an opportunity to win the football game.
And it's wild because I looked this up. You know, the SWAC gets a lot of attention. But when you look at the Celebration Bowl, the MEAC has dominated the Celebration Bowl. Can you talk about that? And your team has been one of the more dominant teams in the MEAC.
Well, I think if you give us a couple weeks to prepare, you know, our teams have a tendency to really get into you with a fine-tooth comb and do a nice study, you know, on all phases of the game. And so I think that gives us a certain advantage because they tend to want to, you know, maybe have a lot of big plays and not necessarily do things in a kind of, you know, in more of a traditional way. They want to try to, you know, be flash in the pan and have a lot of big plays, that kind of stuff. If you take that kind of stuff away from them, you know, make them actually get into a detailed plan about, you know, how they compete against one of our teams, you know, I think we sometimes come out on the long end of the stick.
So, Coach, I mentioned, you know, you've had such a big-time program and what you've done in the MEAC. You've won 8 MEAC titles. What has been the key to your success?
Well, I think just playing good, playing old hard-nosed fundamental football, you know, having accountability in a way where our guys, you know, handle their business in a professional way. Our teams traditionally have, you know, gone in and not been very giving in a way where you know, give up a whole lot of easy scores and touchdowns, that kind of stuff. Our guys, you know, pay attention to their details. And we generally have, you know, great defenses. Our defense is always the lead dog in our pack. And, you know, we do a nice job of not allowing, you know, a lot of high scoring kinds of games. So you don't see some of the kinds of scores that you see in some of the other leagues, you know, in the MAAC, because, you know, I think we are more defensive led kind of a league.
Coach, so you played there at South Carolina State. Now, of course, the coach, he just shares some of your credentials. What does it mean to you to have played and now be coaching at an HBCU? Describe that for us.
Well, you know, there's always a source of pride of having been a player in this league. I still look back on some of the days when we were playing back in the early 70s. Coach Willie Jeffers, who was my predecessor here, came in here as a hot and coming up and young whippersnapper kind of hot college football coach doing his day, and got us going in a way where we started tradition of winning championships here. We hadn't won a championship before he got here. And then from that point on, our tradition has been, you know, having great defenses and continuously having, you know, football teams that have been at the top of this league. So even the years that we don't win it, you know, we always around the top of the league. We always close to the top of the league. So, you know, I think that we just traditionally are going to be one of the better football teams in this league.
Coach, do you want to share your thoughts on what you think the future of the league is? There's been a lot of discussion about where we're going because of just it only being how many football schools? Is it 8 football schools or 6 football schools in the MEAC right now?
It's actually only 6 football schools right now. Yeah, which is a little bit scary. But at the same time, because we've got the Celebration Bowl as our championship, you know, sort of prize out there, you know, I think that kind of, you know, maybe foregoes the need for having more teams. The 6 teams that we have, you know, we can all play each other. We got a clear-cut champion every year. You know, from that point, we can play a good – most of our teams can find games. We can play, you know, SWAC teams. We can play, you know, Big South teams in our neck of the woods, a Southern Conference team. So there are enough championship subdivision kind of football teams around that we can find plenty of games to play, you know, to make a schedule out. So we don't necessarily have a problem getting a schedule that way. It's just that we only got 6 teams for our champion. And in our particular case, I like that better because, first of all, I can play who I want to play in my non-conference schedule. We can have more guaranteed games. This coming year, we open up with UCF, Central Florida, in Orlando. Then game 4, we play at South Carolina. That gives us a chance to make somewhere close to $1 million, you know, as far as the guaranteed allotment is concerned. Then from there, you know, we can go out and we can play A&T, you know, who's now in the they're in the Big South now, but they're going into the CAA in another year or so. And then we also play Bethune-Cookman and FAMU, who are, you know, now in the SWAC. So it gives us a chance to dibble and dabble, you know, around where we want to play our non-conference schedule. It gives us a chance to play some guaranteed games. We can do all the different kinds of things. Plus, we still got time to get back to our league and play a conference schedule. So as of right now, yes, I'd like for us to have another team or two, but I like having the availability of a schedule where we can go out and play all these different kinds of teams.
Season's not too far away. Not too far away. Now we're getting there. How are you liking your team going into the season?
Well, we returned most of the team from last year. And, you know, anytime you return your quarterback and wide receivers, you got a couple of defensive linemen that we can get after pretty good. Our linebacking core, we think, is solid. We think we ought to be pretty good. Now, whether or not we can, you know, keep everybody down on the farm, whether we can keep guys from getting the big head and that kind of stuff, whether we can continue to academically, you know, do all the things we got to do to get all of our team back in place this coming fall is still to be determined. But as of right now, we had a great academic semester this past year. You know, our guys are getting ready to get back here in a little bit for summer school. We'll have almost all of our team in here for summer workouts in another couple of weeks or so. From that point on, all we got to do is just continue to work hard and do things we do here to this at Saugus State. We ought to be okay.
Coach, you mentioned you're returning most of your kids, but you're missing one big one. Got drafted in the league, DB, the Kobe Durant. He went to the LA Rams. As a coach, how proud are you?
Well, I'm extremely proud of Dakota and Zafir Kelly, one of our other corners, is with the Atlanta Falcons. You know, we've got another couple guys. We've got about six or seven guys in the league with different teams. And everybody knows Darius Leonard and Javon Hargraves and those kind of stuff. Joe Thomas. You know, all those guys are ex-Arkansas State players here recently. And, you know, we'll continue to have those kind of, you know, numbers in the future, I think, continue to go to the NFL that way. So, you know, I'm proud of those guys and looking forward to being able to see them on Sundays. But you know what? When the seasons go on, I don't have a favorite team. I can't root for anybody because I can't root against one of our guys, especially when they're playing against each other. So it's a lot of fun just to watch those guys out there and remember when they were here and hope that they can continue to be successful and eventually send some big bucks back to us at the
University. Now, Coach, I love your excitement for your ex-players. And again, you were a player back a few years ago. I'm not going to say when exactly, but, you know, you still look good, of course. I want to talk a bit about how NFL players routinely will play at HBCUs in the past. So are we getting back to that point now? Because I see your excitement, but it used to be such a regular occurrence. And I feel like we're getting there, but we still got some ways to go. What do you think?
Well, we do. But now we've got to develop those guys as opposed to just get them ready-made that way. Most of the guys that we have here that are NFL guys came in here as kind of, you know, mystery guys of sorts. We didn't have a clue that they were that level of guy. And Darius Leonard came in here. He was a 6 foot, maybe a little bit over 6'1", kind of 175, 180-pound guy who left a couple years later, you know, 6'3", and 225, 230 pounds. So, you know, we've got to be good at projecting what might be down the road a piece. If we can continue to find those guys and then develop them as far as their, you know, strength and conditioning, as far as their ability, as far as their fundamental understanding of the game is concerned, then that's how we get those kind of guys, as opposed to just going out and finding 3 stars and 4 stars and 5 stars in high school. And those same guys sometimes end up being better players than those 5 stars were coming out of high school. So, you know, that's just what we think our mission is. That's kind of how we do things, as opposed to having, you know, those guys come in here, you know, as ready-made players that way.
Awesome. So you mentioned Darius Leonard. You coached him, coaching one of the top linebackers. How does that help your recruiting? And what do you tell young prospects about playing football and just furthering their football dreams at an HBCU?
Well, we tell them that we've got just as much an opportunity to be a part of the league as anybody else. And there's hardly never, ever a practice here that we don't have pro scouts here watching practice that way. And we practice at a time of the day where generally nobody else is practicing also. We practice at 6:30 in the morning. And we go from 6:30 to about 8 in the mornings. And they can come here, watch us practice, hang around the office all day, watch tape, and then go and watch some of the other schools in the area that afternoon, which really works out as a convenience for them that way. So we never have, you know, an opportunity to you know, to say that our guys don't have a shot that way. So if you don't get a shot out of South Carolina State, it's not because you didn't get looked at. It's because you weren't good enough.
Straight up.
I know. Ain't that the truth? Hey, Coach, thanks for being on HBCU Corner. Is there anything you would like to add? This has been a pleasure, to be honest with you.
No, I don't have anything except for the fact that I just enjoy, you know, seeing you young guys do sports talk kind of stuff. I'm a sports talk guy. So anytime I get a chance to talk to you guys, I enjoy it.
Thank you so much, Coach. We appreciate it.
Thanks a bunch, guys. Appreciate you.
All right, you have a blessed one.
All right.
Wasn't he dope, man? He's awesome, man. Coach Oliver Buddy Pugh, amazing guy. He's a legend. He's a legend in the coaching game, man. Nothing but stars he puts out there, man. One of the best linebackers in the world, Darius Leonard, for the Colts. So you already know what kind of work he's doing. Hey, you can also check out this whole interview on YouTube. You know, our video, our in-depth video of this interview. You can just go to our Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel. You know, type in Coach Buddy Pugh or Coach Oliver Buddy Pugh, and it should pop up. Again, it was a dope interview. We appreciate having him on the show. Again, keep tuning in, man. HBCU Corner is blowing up, man. We got some other special guests down the road. So, again, make sure you keep checking us out. We're going to keep putting out classics. All right, we'll play our pre-taped interview with super lightweight boxer and PG's own Greg Sharpshooter Outlaw after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces.
Sounds like.
You are listening to The Urban Sports Scene with Wole and Ray, part of Empire Media. That's Empire Media at empiremedia.com. Let me introduce our guest now, who is a native of the DMV by way of Glenard, Maryland, who was an amateur boxer and posted an impressive record of 70-12 in addition to winning the Silver Gloves and Junior Olympics on his way to the Olympic boxing trials. He trains out of Dream Team Boxing in Clinton, Maryland, with sparring partners that include Kobe Abridia and the upcoming Jaleel Hackett. His professional boxing record currently stands at 10 wins and 1 defeat with 5 knockouts. And our guest will be headlining Beltway Battles Round 2 on this coming Saturday, May 28th, at the Entertainment and Sports Arena in Washington, D.C. Go get your tickets. He's known as the Sharpshooter. Welcome to the Urban Sports Scene, Greg Sharpshooter Outlaw. Greg, what's up, man?
What's up, man? How you feeling? Appreciate you having me.
It's good, man. Glad to have you on, my man. You know, you're from Glenard. Our homeboy is from Glenard.
They should know me. I got to know them.
A boy named his nickname, Jew. He may be, that's a long
time. He older, so you may not know him. Where did you go to high school at?
You said high school?
Yeah.
I went to Lago, but my zone was Duval and Flowers, but I didn't want to get in trouble.
I was going to say, because I went to
Duval, and everybody from Glenard went to Duval.
We had a bunch of folks. I went to
what year did I go there?
Yeah.
I graduated in 99, bro. way before you.
You might be Michael Hinkle, I think, was there then, maybe. I don't know who was there.
Might know some old heads, you know.
Yeah. I was like, kindergarten.
Don't do that.
Hey, it's all good, man. We still around, as you can see. It's good to have you, like I said, though. So, how you feeling about this coming weekend?
I'm ready. I'm excited. I'm actually excited for Friday first, so I can weigh in, and then I get excited for the fight. But it's gonna be back first time home in 3 years, so I'm gonna have the people. You heard around town, I sell out of tickets, so we're gonna have the people there. It's gonna be a show.
So who are you fighting on Saturday? And also, for the folks who haven't caught your fights, can you explain to them or tell them what to expect?
It's a guy named Wilfredo Benflips. He got a Latin name, so I can't really say it.
Me, that's why I had to try. That's why I tried to get you to say it, because I couldn't say it.
You messed it up, huh? another warrior, but for you, what you expect from me is a smart boxing shop. Defensively sound, and I can punch. I'm gonna show you that I can punch.
And folks can get these tickets on Ticketmaster, right? And yourself too, right? I'm sure you're an outlet as well.
It benefits me. You get it from me, so you can get it from Ticketmaster or just come DM me, and I send you to my manager or my momager, as she called herself too. I got two people telling them.
I love it. So, Ray, I mean, I saw that you went to Bowie State. Ray and I went to the University of Maryland Eastern Shore. We rep HBCUs, man. For you, man, How is, you know, for you, like, what's the feel for you going to HBCU? What does that mean to you, going to an HBCU and be a part of an HBCU?
Oh, man, it's amazing. It's a beautiful thing. I wouldn't change it for, I had, like, other offers, because I was always been a scholar. I had other offers to go elsewhere, but I actually had to choose whether I was going to leave and go out of town for school or pursue my dreams to fight for the Olympics. So I chose to stay here and went to for the Olympic trials, as you said earlier. And I don't regret it. I'd do it all over again. I met some of my brothers. I don't call them my friends, my brothers. And the HBCU experience is one of the one many. If you can experience it, do it. Especially if you stay on campus and do it. Man, I wish I could do it all over again. I swear I'd do it.
We had head coach Damon Wilson for Bowie State, their football team coach. And, you know, he explained to me about Bowie State's homecoming. Like, how lit is Bowie State's homecoming? I asked you, how lit is it?
Man, it's a beautiful thing, man. Just, oh man, it's like I can see them ladies walking around there. Nah, it's fun though. It's like reminiscing and getting back with your boys and seeing all the dormitories and this being back on campus. It's like everybody's just like at home. It's a beautiful thing and the vibe is just crazy.
So for you, and so we went back to boxing. And you're boxing in the DMV. What are, and I'm sure you study so many boxers out here in this area. Like, what is your Mount Rushmore of DMV boxers?
That's a hard. You put me on the spot, man. I mean, that's like.
Give me your top three if you want to. You can make it
easy.
Nah,
I don't have none because I love them all.
But okay.
Like, I don't want to say like nobody, and you know what I'm saying, like, and miss somebody, and because you got to pay respect to everybody. I love them all. I mean, we had some good area. I think the DMV area, we got some of the best fighters. Is it something where when we get to, I don't know, we got to get over a little hump of, I don't think I see this career. I don't know. I think the Washington sports kind of is rough, but we got a lot of great fighters. You know, I don't know what it is.
Definitely. So we've talked to many boxers, of course. We've had the privilege of talking to many boxers. And I mentioned when I introduced you that I didn't mention this, my bad. I said that you sparred with Kobe Abreedy. I actually met him. He was on undercard, a Gary Russell fight at the MGM. And it was a special experience for all them to fight at the MGM. Is that a goal of yours to fight there at a bigger venue? You starting at Entertainment Sports Arena, which is dope. You know what I'm saying? Nice spot. But as you grow, what are your goals in terms of where you want to be featured at here at home and just everywhere nationally?
Yeah, so I'm big on manifesting and speaking things to existence. So one of the things I said I was going to do is I was going to have the first professional fights. Well, let me tell you something. So I'm going to backtrack. So one of my friends sent me a screenshot from college saying, bro, you said you was going to do it. Meaning I told him I was only at school to be the first one for my family to go to college. And I graduated. So I said, but as soon as I graduate, I'm turning pro. So I graduated in May and turned pro in my first fight in November. He sent me a screenshot of that conversation from 2011. I was like, wow, it's crazy. And then I told him, I also said I was going to have the first professional fights ever at Bowie State. I did that in 2018. So I want to headline it. I always wanted to like headline a car where like MGM, when I'm driving up, I'm on a game, I see billboards all the time. So I'm driving up there and I see me on a billboard, you know, so that's something I would like a major billboard where everybody's at, everybody's seen. So that's something I said that I wanted to do and I will do one day, whether it's first on the undercard, but I'll have my own car somewhere where I'm like you driving on the highway, and like that's Greg right there, you know, outlaw versus somebody else, it'll be major.
Yeah, Jerry Hurd, he tried to fight at MGM. I don't know if you noticed, but he was told by Al Heyman, you too big to fight at MGM. So if that happens, that'll be dope as well. You too big to fight at the MGM. Right. You know what I'm saying? Right. Anywhere on the East Coast, though, Atlantic City, Brooklyn, where people can travel to see you, I think that's going to be amazing. But just what is it like to fight in front of your family, your friends, your homies, all the people that supported you?
So, like I said, I'm a big ticket seller. We was in Atlantic City my last fight, and we sold more than the natives there. So it's a beautiful, you know, my support system is amazing. I don't take it for granted. I love them all. That's why after the fights, I try to take a picture. Win, lose, or draw, I want to take a picture with everybody that comes support me if you can. Like, I'll wait. It don't matter. I'll wait. I'm humble. That's who got me here, and I'm never going to change. So it's a beautiful thing to always fight in front of my fan. You know, I'm always, whether here, Alaska, California, we're going to be there, you know. But here, of course, because we're at home, there's no excuse. So people have to, well, besides like Memorial Day and Javante fighting, besides that. But we're going to have the people there. So it's even like, it's more of a, you know, it's like even better that I'm here now. So everybody should be there. So it's like, wow, I know it's going to be electric in there.
All right, so what's the end result going to be this coming Saturday?
I don't get paid for overtime.
I love it.
I'm prepared to go 12 miles so, if I got to, but I don't get paid for overtime.
I love it. I love it. Right? Don't waste no action, man. Nah, get it all in when you can. So, all right, so for the people out there listening to the show, listening to this segment, why should they come out and pay for this fight? Pay to watch this whole event? Tell us why. Tell them why.
It's a lot of... I'm gonna keep it real always. But it's a lot of great. Firstly, it's a lot of great talent on the card. They're trying to bring boxing back to DMV. They say they're gonna have a lot of consistent fights and help guys start their career, get on track. Secondly, if you know my fight, I got some old videos of some other boxers saying, "Man, Outlaw, bring them out," and they're gonna have women. They're gonna bring the queens and kings out. So they're gonna be dressed to impress. It's gonna be like a party. I mean, they're gonna be there. It's gonna be a good vibe. Everybody's gonna be having fun. If you know my mom, she like treat you like she know you for her whole life. She's gonna party with you. She's gonna turn up. She's not gonna actually watch the fight, but she's gonna get the people there. And once the fight starts, she gonna probably walk out. But it's gonna be a beauty. Like my fans turned up. It's all everybody treats you with love. It's gonna be a building full of love and excitement, an exciting time. You need to come to the fight. You ain't gonna never miss another one.
I love it. Hey, single ladies, single dudes. You're heard. He's saying.
True.
He's saying it's an event. He's telling you right now, it's an event. So be there.
Just to impress. No
question. Exactly. Well, before I let you go, man, anything you want to add? You want to promote your social media platforms? Anything? Put it out there. It's all for you, man.
Shout out to Rising Star Promotions. Shout out to Team Outlaw, whole Outlaw Nation. Follow me on Instagram at Sharpshooter Outlaw. It's all spelled the same, all spelled regular, Sharpshooter Outlaw. And man, please come out May 28th, DC Sports Entertainment Arena. I will put on the show. You won't be disappointed. And I appreciate the support. God is the greatest.
All the time, man. All the time. Mm-hmm. Appreciate you, my man.
No questions.
Man, Sharpshooter gonna put a show out there for you all, man. You go support the homie, man. Your tickets are at Ticketmaster. So go on Ticketmaster, get your tickets. All right, he already told you. You know what I'm saying? Single dudes, single chicks. They out there. All right, you can bag something. All right. Hey, subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also follow us on Twitter at Urban Sports Scene, IG at Urban Sports Scene, and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Also, subscribe to our Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well. Check out the home of the Urban Sports Scene, Amp Pyre Media at amppyremedia.com. And this show can be found on Podcast DC. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Amp Pyre shows, as well as other great content. Thank you all for tuning into the show. Appreciate you all. We appreciate you all. You keep listening. And just, you know, keep supporting us. All right. Now, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene for IGS. Yeti Deuces. Hey, Mega. Do me a favor, bro. Lead us out, big homie.